You gotta love a good old-fashioned source off, because that's exactly what I think that we got here. It's summer. I mean, I get that the World Cup is on. I get that Love Island is on. I get that Major League Baseball is on, even though Cam Schittler is getting up, and I'm calling him Schittler. Even though Cam Schittler's given up the most runs he's ever given up in his life, he's given up six tonight for my Yankees. It's not a lot going on. But here is the real truth. In summer months, recruiting heats up like nobody's business. You know that. I know that. Your mama knows that. Your daddy knows that. Your grandmammy with her moo-moo on knows that. Everybody knows in the summer, at least since the new age and modern age of college football, during the summer, these young men and young women, depending on the sport, want to get their commitments over with. They want to go through their senior season getting it over with. And if some things happen throughout the season, well, they just so happen to go through the season. And today, it was very interesting to me seeing the source off happen, because there's been a lot of noise surrounding the number one overall defensive tackle and number one overall defensive player, depending on who you talk to in the country, and Jalen Brewster. And what I would tell you here is that as we go through this week, because tomorrow starts a scenario and situation where, guys, I think that there is a strong chance that LSU starts climbing and getting into that top 10. I think LSU makes a push on the defensive side of the football at a very great rate. I think that they bring in a lot of really good players over the next couple of days. And the question becomes, as it's been going on for the last 2 weeks, longer than that, let's just say the last month, is LSU going to be able to flip Jalen Brewster? Are they going to be able to flip Easton Royal? Now, I know that you and I are pretty much tired of probably having the conversation about all of the buzz that surrounds those two. I get it. I get like, hey, you get exhausted by it. You get exhausted by wanting to have another conversation because buzz continues to go on. But guys, it is what it is. But is this Jalen Brewster news something that's fugazi and fake? Or is it something where LSU is a real contender here? Because the way that I see it, the way that I hear it, the way that I understand it, guys, not only are they a contender, they've been a contender, will remain a contender until that day comes that either Brewster makes the decision to stay or he decides to flip. But when it comes down to Brewster, when it comes down to Easton Royal, guys, there's two teams involved for both of them. Texas Tech, LSU, Texas, LSU. And the question's going to become, are you able to do what I believe that some people think might be the undoable? You know, because if you look at LSU's track record since COVID, they really haven't, just to some degree, they really haven't, outside of the state, gone and gotten a guy like a Jalen Brewster. Right? The last time that you got in a dead heat dogfight for a top five defensive lineman in the country that was not from the state of Louisiana, Colin Simmons wind up committing to Texas. And as a true freshman, had double-digit sacks, and people were worried about then, well, you shouldn't pay a true freshman seven figures. It makes no sense. And I'll say then what I say now. If you believe that guys like Lamar Brown, Jalen Brewster, KJ Green, Colin Simmons, you name the prospects, if you believe that's what you're getting, because seven figures ain't enough. $1 million a year isn't enough in the modern era of NIL and in the modern era of TV revenue share. Because if a true freshman can come in and do what a Colin Simmons did, and as a freshman, as a backup, get to double-digit sacks, you ain't going to care that you paid him $1 million. The thing that you're going to say is, yeah, probably we should have given him more. Lane Kiffin is not a difficult person to understand once you realize who he is, what he is, and what he's done. You know, I take the past history of Ole Miss from a couple of seasons ago. In a season that, yes, I agree, probably was a more talented team, probably should have gotten in the playoffs over Clemson, fully believe that. Should have gotten in the playoffs over SMU, completely believe that. Because they were a really good team. And because you have athletic directors who really have no idea what they're doing and voting on top 12 playoff teams, I thought Ole Miss deserved to be in. I thought South Carolina deserved to be in. But Lane has shown you when he has the resources and that resources are given to him what he will spend those resources on. You have to go back further than that and understand who the man grew up with. Monty Kiffin was the defensive coordinator for arguably one of, if not the overall best, defense in the NFL that maybe in my generation that we've seen in that Tampa Bay Bucs defense. And they had guys like Derek Brooks. They had guys like Warren Sapp. They had Rice. They dominated along the defensive line. And you look at what Lane has done when he has the resources to do what needs to be done. Guys, they dominated at Ole Miss at going and getting players along the defensive line. Hell, you just went out in the portal yourself and got one of his old players to come here who had 8.5, 9 sacks, if memory serves me correctly. You would have loved to have had a player last year at the edge that would have gotten you 9 sacks. But when you look at what Lane has done and what he is building, what he is attempting to build, whether it's retaining Juice Gerald, whether it's retaining, and I say retain because these guys were committed, retaining a Richard Anderson, retaining a Lamar Brown. Yeah, I'm pretty confident that my guy wants to build defensive dominance up front. And that's why you see guys like CJ Whitehead. That's why you see guys like KJ Green. And why you continue to hear right now that LSU is on the attack of attempting to flip Jalen Brewster. And as it was reported on Go 24/7 when Zach Nagy reported it, as real as it is today, guys, it doesn't matter what decisions are made. Kevin Peoples will continue. Ed Orgeron will continue to push for Jalen Brewster until the day comes that he signs a letter of intent. They're not waning. I think from a financial standpoint, people look at the new Texas Tech and say, Blake Day will spend whatever money is reasonable to spend to bring in a young man like him. And you're not wrong. But I do think that this process, if LSU is able to do the what some believe, again, to be the unthinkable, the question that I would ask you is, can't you start saying that same exact thing for LSU? If LSU goes on a run and they flip an Easton Royal, if they flip a Jalen Brewster, hell, in the next coming days, as Zach Nagy reports on Go 24/7, if they're able to flip a Greedy James, now what? Now what? Now, I'm sure the question that you're asking is, well, Blake, where do things stand? Because this has been going on for more than a month. Guys, until a real decision is made, and I do think that the next 96 hours, if not a little bit longer, if not the next 110 plus hours, I think that things could get very interesting around here. Now, I know I started off the show by saying we got ourselves the old-fashioned source off. I know some out there that are reporting the things that are going on with Jalen Brewster. I can only tell you what I know. What Blake Ruffino and AYS knows is that LSU has not only their foot on the gas, guys, the pedal is down to the floor, and they will do everything that they feel is plausible that they need to do to bring in top talented dudes. And God forbid, with Greedy James saying to Zach Nagy today that he's going to be making a final decision, if it comes down to Davon Jones, whether it comes down to Jaden Anding, Kelsey Adams, and God bless America, if you're able to flip a Jalen Brewster and or an Easton Royal on Go 24 or on 24/7 Sports, guys, you would be a top two class. And you would be borderline of not being two. Now, I know that some of you feel as if, well, Blake, we've been down this path before and it never played for LSU. Yeah, under Brian Kelly, under Scott Woodward. But, you know, I come at this with a sense of pride to some extent. Regardless of what happens, I think when LSU and Lane Kiffin went out there and poured in the portal and spent the money that they did, I told you then and I'll tell you now, it sent shockwaves, man. You can't do what LSU did in the portal. You can't do what LSU did in retaining Richard Anderson and Lamar Brown, and that people around the country were just going to not notice it. They weren't going to notice it at all. I think that battles are happening. I think that LSU has done a very good job at the very least, even being behind the eight ball. Because, guys, Lane Kiffin and company were behind the eight ball with Easton Royal when they got here. They were completely behind the ball for Jalen Brewster when they got here. And, guys, right now, in the summer months, in the dead heat of recruiting, what you have is a dogfight. Guys, really and truthfully, however way it goes, I have a level of confidence. I think you're in a dogfight, and anything could happen. But the simple fact that you've made up the ground to where you're making the lives of Texas, you're making the life of Cody Campbell and Texas Tech a living hell, tells me all that I need to know about what Lane Kiffin can build for the future. Guys, at the end of this, I think you sit in a good spot. Now, where I do think outside of the top guys, which we will talk about coming out of the break here, we'll talk a little bit about recruiting. You have three commitments that are really four commitments that are going down in the next couple of days. And in those four commitments, what are you going to be able to do? Do you go 3-for-4? Hell, do you sweep the board? And if you do that and you start building from within, because right now, guys, you're at 14 commits. You get to 20, 22. You have top 10 classes. I know what you're going to say. Well, Blake, those guys are going to transfer anyway. Yeah, statistically speaking, that's just not true. You know, I can go over to a normal SEC team, how many players per recruiting class in the SEC ultimately hit the portal in football? And I go to Gemini on Google, and it gives me a pretty good idea of players that hit. About 10 players per SEC team hit the portal every year. Your lower end guys. You get to 20, 22, 24, 25. Those top end guys are going to be there. So what happens? Some of those guys that you get are going to be diamonds in the rough that make it and do something special for you. When you go into high school recruiting, the truth of the matter is, if you want to build success in today's world from within, you got to go and get the top guys and you got to spend the top dollar to go and get them. That is how you win. Do you want to know how I know? Well, Blake, what about Indiana? Okay. Well, why is Indiana going after Monchon Sales then? They're an outlier to the overall rule because Ohio State didn't do that. Michigan didn't do that. Georgia sure as hell didn't do that. Indiana is the outlier to the overall rule. It's because that they brought in the top-end talented guys. That is it. You know, when we come out of the break here, we'll talk about program defining. The first class for a coach always is program defining, right? It builds the foundation. It builds the culture. It builds what you're going to do in the future. And I will say this. I feel very good where we sit. I know that you want answers. You deserve answers for Jalen Brewster and Easton Royal. I can't give them to you at an all right certainty right now. But to circle back what I said earlier, what I can tell you is, yes, I love the saying that you have your foot on the gas. But I don't think that that is the right saying to go about for this one. No, the pedal's on the floor. You're in a Cadillac on 22s and the pedal is on the floor. And you're going full speed ahead to do what you think that you need to do to be a national title contender. Will LSU pull it off? That will be the ultimate question. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone, do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups. If you are on Facebook, you're going to have to use that YouTube link. Take the YouTube link, share it over to Facebook. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Share to all those groups. We appreciate you doing that as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Hit that notification bell. Trying to get to 20K before the college football season arrives in September. So do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button and notification bell down below. If you're watching us on YouTube or on Twitter, hit that retweet button as well. Speaking of Twitter, Noah Mason, as always, is in Plano, Texas. Yes, where is everyone watching from tonight? Are you in the 225, the 318, 31 great, the 337, the 504, the 985? Are you outside the state representing somewhere inside the state? Corey Rogers says, if we get Brewster, our D-line in 2027 going to be wild. That's a whole nother thing. Look, I think your defensive line and what you've built right now, some of this is happenstance. Like, as an example, let's just say hypothetically you hold on to KJ Green. Hypothetically, you hold on to all of the defensive linemen, like Trent Henderson, Lamar Brown, Richard Anderson, Deuce Jones, even some of the guys that you have in this class. As an example, yeah, it's going to be disgusting. But Lane had a front row seat. You know, I think because everybody is looking for, this is what I think about that happens to Lane a lot of times. Everybody's looking for the viral clip with him. And instead of actually listening to the what the frick he says, you know, like as an example, he talked about the year that Tampa went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. I think, what was it, the Raiders, Rich Gannon, and all them. And he remembers talking to his dad after the game, after winning the Super Bowl. He's like, man, how did you do this? He goes, Lane, I have an elite defensive line. Like, I'm not really doing anything. Guys, hello. Hello. It, once Lane got resources, it's a philosophy built from within. And it's not reinventing the wheel. Like, Lane Kiffin's not trying to reinvent any wheel here. There's no real wheel. There's no real wheel that you have to reinvent. Because Indiana, regardless if they had five-star prospects or not in winning a national title last year, like, regardless of all of that, what did they have? They had a really freaking good defensive line. They had a really freaking good offensive line. That's how they won. I'm not saying Fernando Mendoza didn't deserve the Heisman Trophy, because when they won the national title game versus Miami, when they had to come back versus Penn State, when they had to go up against Ohio State, when they had to go up against Oregon twice, what won them those football games? Being dominant on both lines of scrimmage. Like, we just forget sometimes that just because the sport around us is changing, because the best offense and defensive lines have remained in the Big Ten over the last 3 years, and that is why they're winning. It's not reinventing the wheel. It would be disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Watching from the Gulf of America, says ACC, good to have you in here with us. Mr. Mickey says, I think we are getting Brewster. I do hope that you are absolutely correct on that one. Dennis Smith says, here in Luling, Louisiana, home of the 985, good to have you in here with us as well. Hamp is in the 601 Meridian, Mississippi. You know, speaking of Mississippi, if you were on Go 24/7, on Saturday, we talked about Thomas Allen. I put on the board that I was hearing that Thomas Allen on Saturday was going to Mississippi State. He is committed to Mississippi State. My man got some cheddar. My man got some cheddar. Good for him. Good for him. Bizzle says, go Tigers. Good to have you in here with us as well. And Bryce Fontenot with a $5 super chat says, Corey Raymond shoving Frank Wilson and Golding in a locker with Greedy James. P.S. Just got my AWS shirt for Father's Day. Hashtag just ever. I love it. Yeah, you know, I know that the 4th of July is right, you know, already here. But we did have some 4th of July shirts out there. We did have some 4th of July shirts out there. Yes, Jay Nanding coming down tomorrow to LSU Ole Miss. We will talk about that coming out of the break. AP, our good friends over at Timeouts and Tangents, is 504 Uptown. Nola Bay Bay, good to have you in here with us. I don't know why I said it like that. Pause. Terry Dillahousse, as always, is in the Barry. 337 represent, and official AD is in Raceland. The Bayou Baby, the 985, good to have you in here with us as well. All right, so we got a lot to get into. We'll come back. Guys, it's going to be a massive week for recruiting, not just for LSU, all across the board. LSU is going to be massively a part of that too, climbing their way into a top 10 class. We'll get to that briefly. Today, we did a Q&A on Go 24/7. So just popped in, said, hey, man, questions, answers, have conversations. So we did that today. I'm going to take that and what we did in the Q&A and make that a segment. I think we're going to do this moving forward. So I suggest that you guys go over to Go 24/7, use the promo code AY60 at checkout. When you do that, actually, let me just put this up here. Go over to Go 24/7, use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Today, what we're going to do, we did a live Q&A. Took thoughts, questions, concerns. We had a lot of great conversation in there. Questions were flying in there. Debates were flying in there. People giving their thoughts. We will talk about what you believed on the board, strengths, weaknesses, what you predict for the season. We will talk about that. Talk about the main things that we were doing there as well. So go over to Go 24/7. Use that promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. All right. Lots to get into, recruiting, strengths, weaknesses, tons and tons to get to. It's going to be an awesome show. At least that's how I feel it in my bones. We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new
Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick.
We're back.
You know, I had somebody today ask me where I thought LSU would be ranked in the preseason, meaning the AP poll. You know, if you remember last year, if you followed Ruffino and Joe's show, I could care less about the AP poll. I think that, though, like, you have people who vote in the AP poll. There's no way. So this is like, you know, whatever. I don't know how people pay attention to games when they're going on live, when they're not actually watching the game. You know, like, they're not keeping up with it, whatever. I had somebody ask me today where I thought LSU would be in the AP poll. And here was my response to them. And I'm not trying to be an asshole when I say this. I don't know, nor do I care. Because it's not going to matter where they are in the AP poll in the first month of the season anyway. The AP poll, I shouldn't say the AP poll doesn't matter. It definitely helps these ADs, right? Because they have no god idea what they're doing. But do I believe that LSU will be in the top 10 when it comes to the preseason AP poll? I do. I think Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, probably Oklahoma. I mean, if I just, like, I'm trying to think if I left anybody out. In no specific order, I think those teams will be in the top 25, top 15. I don't think it matters because you're going to go up against Ole Miss. You're going to go up against A&M. Very well, those teams are going to be in the top 10, if not top 15 themselves. So it doesn't really matter. The AP poll is filled with a bunch of people who have no idea what they're talking about, in my humble opinion. And they admit as much. So that was a question that we fielded today. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, nor do I really care, because the first month's going to predict where you're going anyway in this season. All right, let's get to this. So tomorrow starts a process for LSU that could start being a really big week for you. A lot of young men are going to be making their decisions of where they're going to college, a lot that probably will be outside of LSU, right? Because there's going to be so many guys committing. But LSU is on path for potentially four different guys. Brandon, in no specific order, Brandon Sherrard, who I do believe continues, as we talked about on Monday morning, a Texas lean. Jay Nanding, the safety from Ruston. Greedy James, who told Zach Nagy, and actually I want to pull up Zach Nagy's tweet from today. That way that I am not butchering the report from said Zach Nagy. But Greedy James being a part of this process, the young man's already committed. But Greedy James tells Zach Nagy of Go247 that LSU is a top contender for the number five safety in America. LSU plans to move him over the corner as well. And after visits to LSU, Notre Dame, and Texas, James has locked in a quote-unquote decision day, he tells Zach Nagy over Go247. He also tells Zach, Corey Raymond's resume just speaks for itself. Well, you put two and two together of why a committed person to the University of Texas is going down to decision day here. I do think later on in the week and this week, Greedy James, who says that he and tells Go247 that he will have a decision to be made, decision will be made this week, but he will make one as well. And Davion Jones, the safety out of North Carolina, will be committing on July the 2nd. So, I think LSU sits in a really good spot for three of the four of those. I do think Texas feels as if that they and the Brandon Sherrard recruiting or recruitment has been very hard to gauge on from a lot of different fronts, from a Texas front, from an LSU front. No telling what that young man's going to do ultimately. But LSU does feel very confident where they sit with Jay Nanding, who's coming down to LSU versus Ole Miss. Greedy James, who's already a Texas commit, and God bless Captain America, if you are able to flip a kid from Texas, God bless you, a top 100 player, that will be fantastic. And Davion Jones, who I think is a fantastic safety as well. Guys, you're going to get in some really talented DBs. You're going to get in three of the top 150 players in the country in your defensive backfield. Fantastic. It also will push you into the top 10 if you're able to do that. You still have guys out there. What's going to happen with Kelsey Adams? I do not know at the current moment. I still feel that LSU believes they sit in a good spot. And obviously, as we talked about to start off the show, Greedy James, Easton Royal and Jalen Brewster, things continue to heat up on both of those, and we'll see how that continues to trend. But LSU has gone on a summer heater. And people say I'm making excuses. Excuses for what? Or I'm being bandwagony. I don't think having a top 10 class is bandwagony, especially in year one of a head coach who's playing catch up for some of the top tier players in the country and some in the state for that regard. Now, when it was all said and done and you add in the portal last year, it's not like Lane Kiffin didn't have the number one overall recruiting class. Guys with high school and portal alike, LSU did have the number one overall recruiting class in the country last year. They've done a really good job recruiting, and I think that they will continue. But you're bringing in a lot of very talented players. I go over to Go247, and I look at potentially what you could be bringing in. Hypothetically speaking, when you talk about some of the top talented guys, you already landed KJ Green. You've already landed Ahmad Hudson. You've already landed Terrence Smith. Three guys that are in the top 40. Chris Whitehead, who is the number 42 overall player in the country. There goes four. You have Peyton Houston, who's at 106. Trey Segar, who's at 134. Braylon Calais, who's at 191. But what you're doing here is potentially adding three guys who are in the top 150, and you're going to potentially get 7, 8, maybe even 9 when this is all said and done, top 150 players in the sport. When we talk about, as we talked about earlier, guys, really and truthfully, when you go through high school recruiting, that really is your program definer. That is really your class. Because once you go down from about 200 down, when it comes to just overall players, most of those guys in the lower end of your class are going to hit the portal. Now, does that change potentially if the Protect College Sports Act is going to pass? Very well could be a plausible thing here. Very well could be what happens. I don't know what the future holds for the sport. But guys, the sport is ever changing. And I will caution you that if this Protect College Sports Act does go through, guys, a lot of these young men are going to be on your roster for a long time. I am not of the belief, I am not in the camp that suggests that this 105 scholarship limit that has been upped from 85 is not starting to become a massive factor. So let me go ahead and say this as we continue to talk about this class. If this Protect College Sports Act passes and you only have one transfer, if you get into a situation where guys are only able to transfer once, I do start believing that with the addition of the 105 scholarships now that colleges are able to have, you might be able to start stacking like we did in the past. Because right now, there's no real issues with transferring. You know, Principal Umamyelen, as an example, is on his third team. Nebraska, Ole Miss, LSU. TJ Finley has been to 9,682 colleges in the last 6 years. You get what I mean. So if you go based off of how college football is working right now, sure, the bottom half, the bottom 200, the guys 200 ranked or less, historically, with all due respect, are the guys that hit the portal. So what have been the teams that have had very much success in college football? They just keep reining in guys who are in the top 150 to top 200. You get into that double-digit factor of that, you start building a contender. You start having program definers. Guys, it's not really my statistic. It's how the sport has gone. It's how Georgia continues to win the SEC. It's how Ohio State continues to be dominant. It is how Oregon continues to be dominant. It is how Texas, with all due respect, is a really talented football team. It's how A&M got to a playoff, quite frankly, last season. It's how Miami got to a national title game the year before. Look at both lines of scrimmage. Look at both lines of scrimmage for Miami. Look at Malachi Toney. Look at their running back room. Look at their linebacker room. They're all scattered with top 150 players, top 200 players. That is the core nucleus of their team. Those are the guys that stayed and are there and that have been developed from within. That is how they're doing this. You potentially could add three of those this week. God forbid fireworks go off on the 4th of July and Jaylor Brewster or Easton Royal decide to flip. God bless America. Ohio State, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M are getting into those double digits of those guys, and that has been that core nucleus that's given them the push. That is the sweet spot. Now, do I believe that sports are changing around college football? Would I vote for the Protect College Sports Act? No, but God forbid it does get passed and does go through. Some of these guys are going to be staying here for quite some time. So you do get that development from within, and you can stack now with 20 more scholarships that you can add. In reference to these three players that I feel confident where you sit on, I think Jay Nanning's a stud. I think he's a flat-out stud. I think Grady James probably is going to be a nickel. Could play that star role at safety. I mean, guys, you can go look at 24/7's statistics on him. If I'm not mistaken, between him and Davion Jones, both of them had around 85-plus tackles last season at safety. That is incredible. You're getting three very talented DBs. So, as it continues to be a very hot summer, not only in Louisiana, but for LSU. Guys, if you start getting into the top 10, you're not done. You're going to continue to push for other guys. You're not even close to being done. Is there somebody out there that you get on a visit during the season. You know, here's another thing that we haven't discussed because we're not thinking forward. What happens if LSU starts going on a playoff run? What if there's a team out there that a young man is committed to and they're like, you know, man, LSU ain't ever really stopped talking to me. Maybe I want to go down to Baton Rouge for a weekend and have a visit and see what's popping. Because let me tell you right now, we are focused on Brewster. We're focused on Royal. We're focused on all of these situations that are currently going on. We live in the moment. A lot of us do. I do as well. But let me shake my crystal ball, my magic eight ball. Let me tell you what's going to happen during the season. Remember this day, our daily bread. Our daily LSU bread. Remember this. LSU is going to start having a really good season. And there's going to be a top-tier player committed to another school who's going to be like, you know, Lane kind of got that thing really rolling, man. They play with a lot of swag. I kind of want to go check that out. And there's going to be chances that you're going to go and flip them. I think that happens along the offensive line. I think that happens at backer. And I sure as hell believe that that's going to happen in a couple of key positions. We're not even to December yet. We're not even remotely close. So I think you sit in a good spot. I feel good where you sit with most of these guys. You start gaining and getting into the top 10. Start having and preparing for a really good class. All right. T-Boy has been a member on the YouTube channel for 5 months. Says, Blake, I have trouble finding your content. I sub to 24. Huh. I think what you can do is when you click on my profile on the website, put follow, and then it'll give you a notification when we post. That's what I believe, I think. All right. Let's get to a quick break. When we come back, we had a Q&A, speaking of Go 24/7. Things I want to break down from the conversations that we had over there. I thought it was really interesting. It was really fun. We'll talk about that next. Stay with us. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotions. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. Guys, I want to talk to you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company. Are you facing tough times due to an injury from a car accident, navigating the complexities of divorce, or purchasing a new home? At the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company, they understand the challenges you're going through, and they are here to help. The lawyer team of Ernie Drake III, Ryan J. Williams, and Summer Vignair, along with Morgan Daniels, have the experience and proven track record to give you that peace of mind. Give them a call today at 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600 to schedule a free consultation at their brand new office located in historic downtown Ponchatoula. They're also doing a special, the AYS special. If you're refinancing or closing on a home in Southeast Louisiana, request the Drake Title Company to handle your closing. If you mention Blake Ruffino and AYS, you're going to receive a $400 discount on title fees. Again, give them a call at 985-386-7600. Let them know that Blake Ruffino sent you on by. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
Guys, you might know my good friend Carol Falls and all the great service that he provides over at State Farm. He is your good neighbor after all. But did you know State Farm has surprisingly great rates as well? Along with the great neighbor service, State Farm agent Carol Falls has surprisingly great rates for everyone inside the state of Louisiana. So call him today at 985-395-4300, 985-395-4300 for all of those surprisingly great rates on auto, home, and life insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to the State Farm underwriting requirements.
We're back! So,
today over on Go 24/7, I went over to the board and asked a simple question. I want to do a Q&A, not really a debate because that gets a bad connotation, a discussion. And the question that I asked was simple. What do you think the biggest strengths for LSU going into 2026 are? What do you think the biggest weaknesses are? And what are just overall topics about the 2026 season that you have? Now, in the discussion and in the Q&A and in all of this discussion, which I greatly appreciate all of you going on over there and using the promo code AY60 at checkout for annual VIP membership, 60% off. The thing that basically I walked away from was the biggest strength that all of you thought that we were going to have was just overall play calling in general. You know, I thought that people would want to talk about more on the field. What are you going to do along your offensive line? Which that was a conversation that we will talk about in a moment. You wanted to talk about receiver. You wanted to talk about quarterback. I honestly thought that a lot of people would have concerns about Sam Leavitt, which doesn't seem to be the situation right now. I thought some of you would talk about edge or want to talk about DB. But the number one thing from all of you was, look, the biggest strength that LSU has going into the season is what they have from a play calling standpoint on the offense and defensive side of the football. And to that, I 1,000% agree. Now, when I look at LSU going into the season from a play calling standpoint, I look at what Lane and Charlie have already done. You know, today I went over to Gemini, the Google AI service, and said, what were Ole Miss's total offenses over the last five seasons? And in that, they said in 2021, they were the sixth overall offense with 492 yards per game. In 2022, they were 29th, the worst ranked offense in Lane Kiffin's tenure at Ole Miss. They were ranked 29th. And get this, even though they were ranked 29th, they still averaged 496 yards per game. Good googly moogly. In 2023, they were ranked 13th at 462 yards per game. In 2024, they were third. They had 526 yards per game. And in 2025, this past season, they were ranked second with 490 total yards per game as told. The worst that Lane Kiffin has done, the worst, has been 29th, and they were averaging 500 yards per game. That is ridiculous. Over the last 5 years, Charlie and Lane combined in the times that they've been together and Lane being at Ole Miss, their teams have averaged 493 yards per game. That is stunning and ridiculous all in the same. And I completely agree with all of you
who went into the message board and during this discussion talked about, guys, this has got to be our biggest strength, because you're not wrong. If I told you today that LSU's offense would be 30th in the country, and in being 30th in the country, they would average 496.4 yards per game, you would say, Blake, where in the hell do you sign me up? But it also goes to the point of how good we should expect us to be. Light years different than the last two seasons. Light years different. I know we want to talk about the offensive line. I know we want to talk about receiver and quarterback and the run game and running backs and tight ends. And I get that. But in these discussions, when I look at what Charlie and Lane have done in the SEC over the last 5 years, averaging right around 500 yards a game, arguably one of the best offenses in the country, yes, it's got to be your biggest strength. And we haven't even talked about Blake Baker and what he has already done and built at LSU. The one thing that Lane and Charlie have been not only the best at in the SEC, but they've been the best at in the country, is dominating in the run game, because they're number one in the SEC over the last 5 years in rushing the football. They're also number one in the country of all teams over the last 5 years in explosive play rate. They're number one in the nation over the last 5 years in explosive plays in general. Regardless of who the quarterback has been, whether it's been Matt Corral, Jackson Dart, Trinidad Chambliss, they've still been number one. They're averaging around, I think somebody said, I think in the 5 years that, or last 5 years, they've had over 900 explosive plays, which averages around 72 per season, which is definitely number, or 75 per season, which is by far number one, not even remotely close. You know what you're getting in Lane there. And I look at what defensively you have the ability to do. Guys, Blake Baker, we've talked about this, has taken a defense that was 108th in the country, put him in the sub-50s in the country. Last year, they finished at 27th, and we've had these conversations where I just don't believe that from a talent standpoint and a play-calling standpoint that they should have been ranked 27th. If they had any pulse on offense, they would have been much better. They got so many turnovers, so many stops. If you had a offensive coordinator or a run game or offensive line that had a pulse, you might have damn good and well done some really good things. But play calling on both sides of the ball is your biggest strength. And when we go into the season, it's probably what we should expect. You know, whether it's Charlie in the playoff versus Miami or Georgia, whether it's Lane in general, or everything that we saw Blake Baker build last season with no defensive lineman that got drafted. There is one question that I do have when it comes to the play calling and the philosophy. Lane Kiffin and company are known for running tempo. They are known for being very high speed. They are number one in the country as well at running the most plays per minute. They're one of the top teams in the country running the most plays per game. I do have a question when it comes to a play calling standpoint and a depth standpoint. How does that affect what Blake Baker does, if at all? Does it affect him at all whatsoever? I don't know. I know there's been a massive emphasis by Lane and Nick Savage to have this team as conditioned as humanly possible. As go follow CJ Jim Coyley on TikTok. Guys, they run more than any other team in the country. I am convinced of that. But you do know what's interesting. In time of possession, Lane Kiffin teams averaged 113th in the country over the last 5 years. They're going to get after that ass, and they're going to run tempo. It didn't affect their defense over the last couple of seasons. Like, I thought defensively they were fine last year. I thought they were good. Still, Prince Will had almost double-digit sacks. But I do wonder, is the lack of depth going to hurt you? You got a lot of young, talented defensive linemen that can get you reps, and I pray to God that that is going to be a benefactor for you. I just, you know, I don't know how it's going to affect you, if it even affects you at all. Does it make you better? I don't know. With all of that, I agree. Your biggest weapon is that you have two geniuses calling plays. Lane, you know, Blake Baker's the guy who held him to his lowest point total last 2 years, even though he's basically averaging 500 yards per game over the last five seasons in the SEC at Ole Miss. Now, excuse me, they weren't 113. Thank you, Brandon. What does the notes say? They were not 113th in time of possession. They were 117th in time of possession. Regardless. That makes it even kind of better. On the opposite side of that, we also talked about weaknesses. And the consensus coming out when it comes to weaknesses, it comes to chemistry of the team. Blake, you know, the conversation that we had today was, how is the chemistry going to be between all of these new guys in the locker room? That's a great question that, guys, I can't give you the answer to. It's a question that I have myself, right? It's a question that I think that all of you should have as well. You know, I do ask this, though. Or I do say this where I agree. This chemistry is going to get tested, and it's going to get tested early. Adversity is going to strike when challenges are going to strike. When adversity hits and you're running up tempo and you believe that the guy next to you is supposed to be doing X and he's doing Y, and the outcome becomes that you're giving up a touchdown or you're missing a blocking assignment, chemistry is going to play a massive factor, especially, I think, more defensively and along your offensive line. I think that you're going to be fine at wide receiver and quarterback. Like, I think you're, I have confidence. You know, it's the one thing going into the season that we can't measure. We can't measure how close of a unit this team is. You know, as much as I hear that this team has a chip on their shoulder, like everybody's talking shizite about them, good, bad, or indifferent, rat poison or non-rat poison, none of that matters. How are you as a team? Because the brotherhood's got to be bonded now. With that said, I do believe that defensively, chemistry is going to probably mean more because if, guys, you're just going to be on the field so damn much. Lane's teams have been dead last in the SEC the last 3 years in time of possession. By choice. This D-line and secondary is going to have to come together quickly, because the more that you're on the field, the more that you're going to have to rotate, the more the chemistry is going to have to be focused and locked in is going to have to be. I would say 1A to that about the chemistry of the team was mainly due to the offensive line. I walked out of spring not really worried about them. Like, I'm really not completely concerned about this offensive line. I kind of walked out of the spring worried about the interior of the defensive line, really. We just got to see it happen because we've been so bad there. Right? We've been so bad there. I think your offensive line's been fine. Do we need to go on the field and see it? Yes. I mean, there just has, like, I have a hard time. Like, here's the thing about Lane, too. LSU last 2 years got so freaking like heartbroken. They would run the ball for a yard and they just wouldn't line it back up and run it again. Like, I would love to know the percentage of how many times LSU ran the ball back-to-back plays. Oh, we got a yard. We can't run the ball. You just weren't a physical team. To be, you know, I hate to say this, you were soft. You were soft. You were built soft. Jake Flint was arguably the worst hire that we've ever made. Joe Sloan, the same. You know, there just wasn't a lot of people in that building that liked Sloan. There wasn't. I hate to hear that. I hate to say it like that, but it's just the truth. Like, they had, and the one downfall to Brian Kelly, too, was that he just let people do whatever they wanted to do. Like, stop being messy. You're going to be able to run this rock. So I do think the connection of the team, the chemistry of the team is the biggest as well. And when you take it on the field, when adversity strikes, you got to trust the guys next to you. All right. Any super chats here? T-Boy with a $2 super chat says, all I want for Christmas is a September 19th win. I don't disagree. You know, Gus, I'm relatively high on this team. To be real with you, I think you're as talented of a team as anybody in the. When I go out to practice, I see you. You were as talented as anybody. Does that mean you go to the playoff? No, that doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. So, Fran says, I believe the interior defensive line will be fine. They will get better in the fall, and it seems all the starters in second are putting in the work without the coaches doing their own practice. That is true. I don't have a lot of concerns, really, with their defensive line. I do worry that some of the guys that you brought in to at the top could have issues. You know, like, the Steph Green dude. I mean, guys, we had fist thorns thrown because Weston Davis was getting up on Steph Green. You know, I think you're going to be fine. We'll see. All right. Spectrum Wellcare says that Kiffin will find mismatches. Always has, always will. Always will. All right. We'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good night. Peace.